Bridging is a podcast produced by Özlem Özkan in Amsterdam. If you are inspired by this episode and if you only shared good things with your friends, family members or coworkers, please remember to think of bridging next time. If you have any questions, please ask it in the comments of the last post on Instagram at Özkan Özlem, at OZKANOZLEM. It's Özlem Özkan, and this is Bridging, a podcast which will take you on a bridge to somewhere else, sometimes somewhere familiar, and sometimes somewhere new. In Bridging, I interview life experts with a story to share. Stories of entrepreneurship, cultural diversity, self-empowerment, personal growth, and other topics that shape our universe.
I have so many clients, when I ask them, who's your target audience? They'll say, oh, everybody. It's not everybody. It's the people that you can help the most. And if the alternative is do or die, I've got to make this into a business and I've got 1 year to do it or 3 months to do it, then you've got to hustle. You've got to go out there and sell and talk to people and learn what they really need from your product to find out exactly what their problems are that they may not even recognize.
There is overloaded of information. What is the right marketing strategy for any entrepreneur that starts, or how do you decide?
Dave Aaron is my guest today. Dave is a marketing professor and at the same time the director of the graduate programs of the Dominican University in Chicago. I reached out to Dave with the question, what the right marketing strategy should be for any entrepreneur? Dave's answers were very simple and also easy to apply in any business. So Dave shares with us his teachings of marketing and how marketing is connected to the human psychology. He tells us why our target audience shouldn't be everybody, but only the people that we can help the most. And sometimes it's better to say to any customer, I'm sorry, I cannot help you, but I know someone else that can help you much better than I do.
Dave Aaron, welcome to Bridging. It's really nice having you.
Thank you so much. It's a privilege to be speaking with you
across the globe. Right, where now. Are you right now? In Chicago, right?
I'm in a suburb of Chicago.
It is your morning. It is my evening here in Amsterdam. And I reached out to you and you actually said like, yes, I would love to be a part of the podcast. Happy to have you here. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
So you are a marketing professor and you are the director of the graduate programs at the University in Chicago, right?
That's right. It's a Dominican University, which is actually just outside the Chicago border.
Okay. I have to admit, when I was a child, my dad used to use a lot like, professor. And I think I just got a little bit scared for the name professor, like, oh, they know everything.
We know everything. And yes, we do. About everything.
About everything. And if a professor would ask me a question, I would just feel like, oh, you know, how am I going to answer this? Because, you know, that is still my perception. It's my archetype. What I learned when I was a child, a professor is a very smart person and knows everything. That's why actually I really also invited you about marketing. You know, I'm a starting entrepreneur and I know a few things about marketing. I've done marketing in previous jobs. But talking to you, it also makes me a little bit question my own knowledge. But my first opening question will be actually, you know, in different companies where I work for, and the people around me, there are lovers of marketing and there are haters. It's kind of like, you know, there's this desire and resist constantly going on. When I ask you what is marketing, what would you say? What is marketing?
In my opinion, marketing is using a business to help consumers solve problems.
A business help consumers to solve problems.
Right. So the business might be manufacturing something, creating a tangible good. You know, I've got a coffee cup, which helps me solve the problem of how can I drink coffee without getting my hands all wet? Or it could be a service, much like a consultant would offer. And then a lot of hybrids that are part service and part tangible good. So it's really using whatever your business is, whatever your offering is, to help customers solve the problems that are best solved by what you offer.
So, and then how do you actually start? Because, you know, I feel like there might be two starting points. One starting point is you might think, okay, you know, looking at the market, let's say the Dutch market, I see that people might need this. So let me produce this or let me offer this service because I already feel they need it. That might be one approach. And I'm talking about very black and white right now, right? Because it might be much more complex than this. And the other approach might be, you know, I really like doing this. This is really what I love. And this is the product I really love so much. And then actually looking for ways how it can serve people. So like the starting points are very different, but still with both of them, you would like to serve people.
Right.
How do you see that?
It makes a lot of sense. Well, wanting to serve people, wanting to serve your customers is kind of a philosophy that I think can really take you a long way. And I want to go back to something you said a moment ago, and that some people do love marketing and some people don't, and they don't trust it. There's kind of the old saying that marketing is the art of taking money out of your wallet. And that's it's sort of a cynical perspective, but then you think some people buy things that maybe they don't need, but they want it. So it satisfies a need that maybe is a little more psychological. So for example, when it comes to planning your dinner tonight, you could have something very functional, that something, you know, have leftovers from the refrigerator or something that's in your pantry right now. Or you could go to a very fancy restaurant and you're serving the same biological need. But if you go to a fancy restaurant, maybe you're celebrating something, or you're celebrating a great day, or you're making yourself feel better because maybe it was a difficult day or something in between. So it becomes very much not black and white. It becomes a very nuanced look at what problems are people really trying to solve, from something internal, like I'm hungry, to something that's really on the opposite extreme, is I want to go where all the cool people are hanging out just to be seen.
Right.
And the meal is actually secondary to the fact that, oh yeah, I'm the kind of person that goes to fancy restaurants or hangs around with celebrities. By that point, you're actually satisfying very different needs in that way.
Yeah, you know, especially you see that there's also a lot in fashion, right?
Yes.
I have been working in the fashion industry. Like, you know, sometimes some brands are made in the same factory, but one brand might be much more expensive than the other brands, and even the quality might be the same, but there's a very big price difference. But if you want to buy brand X with the price of one top for 200 euros, and brand Y, the same quality, but 50 euros, this very similar top, let's say, maybe seven differences on both of the tops. And so do you want to have the feeling of I am buying a expensive top with brand X? Or doesn't it matter for you? You want to have a quality top for $50. Do you also say then it is more an emotion that the consumer is looking for, not necessarily a problem, but the emotion that they would like to feel?
Absolutely. And so I would go back to say that in itself might be a problem that they're trying to solve, even if they can't really put it into words. Some of it is image management. They want to be perceived in a certain way. What does advertising do? It really tends to play on people's emotions, to make them feel a certain way and associate that feeling with the brand, in the hopes that having a relationship with that brand will bring them closer to that feeling that they enjoyed.
Okay. So, and then, you know, there are so many new starting entrepreneurs out there. They make different kind of products. You also guide them. Like, for example, I am making podcasts. My book is going to come out. And, you know, it's it's September 1st. It's going to come out.
Wonderful.
And I am actually, I'm doing it all by myself with a lot of outsourcing, also with different people. I am looking at different kind of marketing strategies. What can I do for my social media and for my website? How can I really market my podcast and my book in a way that it serves people, that it reaches the right people, let's say. It doesn't need to be that it reaches the whole world, but the right people that are really interested in the topic self-awareness, which my book is about, and the podcast, the three topics, entrepreneurship, personal growth, and cultural diversity. But there is so much out there, Dave. You know, when I Google, when I read one book, two books, three, four, five books, there is overloaded of information. And then I would think, what is the right thing to use? So what marketing strategy does really work? You think. You say me. I'm not the professor.
I've actually had authors in situations very similar to yourself. Well, so let me ask a couple of questions, if I could. You're self-publishing.
Yeah. Okay. I am. Yes.
Are you utilizing the tools that like Amazon provides to help their authors?
Yes, I am. I'm going to use Amazon, but also I'm going to work with few bookshops in Amsterdam. Like I'm talking about the retail, the physical shops in Amsterdam.
What is your goal? Do you want to sell? Do you want this to be your retirement fund so you never have to work another day in your life?
No, actually, here was the thing. You know, when I started the book, I just wrote for the pleasure of writing. I loved writing this whole book. And then when it finished, I was like, okay, I'm just going to give it to my family and friends. And then after getting different kind of feedbacks from here and there, I really believe that this book can help so many people and inspire so many people. Because in this book, what happens is, you know, it's a memoir. It is about my reflections of myself, about my darkness and my light at the same time. I just got much more empowered. And I believe people, after reading this book, they can also reflect on themselves. So I believe it can help people. How do you decide what the right strategy is for your business? You know, I'm really curious to hear that, because what is the right marketing strategy for any entrepreneur that starts? Or how do you decide what the right marketing strategy is for you? Maybe that is that's a better question.
A great question. It would be wonderful if there were one simple answer. And actually, I shared one simple answer, and that is just spend a lot of money and be in front, you know, physically and through advertising, just be in front of your customers. But that's something that most of us can't do. What you still can do, though, is be in front of those customers. And so let's go back to your book for a second, like a beautiful three-dimensional business card. Because if the book you wrote has been therapeutic for you, and if I'm understanding you right, you want to share those benefits with people that their lives have been similar to yours, or they find themselves in a similar situation, you want to reach out to them and say, this is something that worked for me. It's very personal. But I think that if you read it, you will get some of the same joy and the same benefits that I got. And what you're doing there is, in a sense, you're advertising yourself. You're building a relationship, because the kind of things that we've been talking about are very relationship-centered. And that tends to do a couple of things. One is that you hope that the people that you shared this with will continue to share it. Sharing is one of the biggest drivers of marketing success. And that sharing, finding evangelists for your brand, not just you, but other people that will say, think about the podcast for a second. But right now it's just Oslam saying, you should listen to my podcast. But then if I do something like, oh, listen, she interviewed me, you should listen to this. Now, and this pertains to something that actually Seth Godin has written about. It's jumping from your circle and your universe to my universe. And the overlap is, right now, it's only the two of us. I don't know if we know anyone else in common. But now all of my followers and all of my friends see this. And they may, we would hope, share this with their friends. And the universe keeps expanding.
But one important thing here is you said we would hope that they share. We would hope. How do we turn that we would hope into reality? Or does it always stay hope?
Right.
I'm just really curious to that. Like, you know, what is, because everyone hopes that. And, you know, for example, I can hope to run a marathon, but I have to do the work in order to run the marathon. I have to do the training. I usually give a lot of examples of marathon. One thing you said is sharing. Okay, sharing. What is that? You know, you, when you cook food, there's just one little thing that you shouldn't miss. Otherwise, it's not the right thing, you know? What is it with marketing that people feel like, without feeling any pressure or push, that they are, whoa, this is amazing, I'm going to share it. Or I'm going to buy it.
Because you're solving their problem in a way that's better than any of the alternatives, including doing nothing. That to me, whenever we talk about competition in my classrooms, we also have to include the competition of doing nothing, because that's a very, because a lot of people want the answer to magically appear without doing any of that work.
Yeah.
To be able to go get up tomorrow morning and run a marathon, but we know that's not how things work. I'm glad you're recording this, because I should be writing this down too. This might be my next lecture. You have to know whose problem you're solving. And I'm not sure what order this has to happen in, because like you've said before, sometimes you have this offering and you just want to share it with the world. And sometimes you see that there is a problem that has not been solved yet. What problem can you solve? And I actually showed this with two overlapping circles. First day of class is there's a group that needs something, and there's what you are good at creating. And that overlap is your market.
Ah, it's like the Venn diagram.
Yes,
so you have the group
exactly.
of people that need something, and you are good at creating something, and you meet in the middle.
So the bigger the overlap is, that's great
yeah.
news. But you're good at a lot of things. Some of this really won't matter to your audience. And that's okay, because you're a person and a human being. And your audience has, and this is the tricky part, your audience has a lot of needs, some of which you're not going to be able to help them with. But that overlap between what you're good at doing and what your audience needs is, that's your value proposition.
And how do you find the balance of what, let's say you met with your audience in the middle, you know, the part of the Venn diagram, it might be maybe a small piece, and then your audience keeps asking for things that they need, and you see that, but you also actually maybe feel, experience, it can be that you cannot provide what they want, it can be that you can, but you don't choose to provide. So how do you stay true at that moment to yourself? Because you think like, my audience, they already like this. Maybe I should do this a little bit more or not, or I should just make an extra product. How does that work exactly?
You said it best, stay true to yourself. If people are asking you to go out of your comfort zone and out of your what you want to deliver, you might simply say, I can't do that for you, but here's what I can do for you. And here are some other people I know or other businesses I know that might be able to satisfy that need in a way that I wouldn't be able to do. And it's really best for the customer in that sense, rather than getting maybe less than an optimal product from me or from you. They can not only get a better version of whatever they need from someone else, but they also know that, well, awesome, really, she's looking out for me. She could have made some more money from me, but realized that it wouldn't be in either of our best interests. So she said, and so next time I have an issue that I think she can help me with, I'm going right to her, because you built that trust.
Yes. So the trust building, that is very, very important. But also what Seth says, and you just also said, like, If there's something that you cannot provide, just tell, this is not what I can provide, but there might be another business or another person that can provide it.
Yeah. And it's hard. If you're a salesperson and if your income depends on selling as many cars or screwdrivers or toasters as possible, it's hard to turn somebody away. But then you hope that the next time they do need what you're selling, they come to you first.
Okay. So one other thing, Dave, like how should any entrepreneur narrow down his or her marketing strategy in a world with a lot of possibilities, a lot of options?
It's a great question.
How should you really narrow this down?
I have so many clients, when I ask them, who's your target audience? They'll say, oh, everybody. And I tell my students, because then they have to echo back. I'll say, what is our client's target audience? And then I put in print, it's not everybody, even if that's what the client said it is. It's the people that you can help the most. Anybody has to figure out, what do I want to be doing? Do I want to make a lot of money very fast? Then it's all about a transaction. Lower your price so people can afford you. Sell them once, knowing that they may never want to buy from you again because you didn't really give them a great product, and then move on to the next customer. And so that's a transactional approach. The other is to determine, and you've probably read this and heard this from many places, who is your next customer? Even if that means it's your first customer or your second or your 10th, who is your next customer? What need do they have that you can solve? And is as frustrating as it may be to hear this, you just repeat that and hope that you've created something that is shareable so they can start doing some of the work for you. So, but again, so you're asking about what's the magic strategy?
Yeah. What is the for every business?
Oh, you got to pay me.
Yeah. We would like to have that.
there isn't a magic strategy. It really depends. There's so many branches on this decision tree that starts with the customer and that Venn diagram again. How big can that overlap be? And that's what any entrepreneur has to ask is, on a very macro level, is how much do I have to earn through my passion before I have to say my passion's not paying the bills? And if the alternative is do or die, I've got to make this into a business and I've got 1 year to do it or 3 months to do it, then you've got to hustle. You've got to go out there and sell and talk to people and learn what they really need from your product to find out exactly what their problems are that they may not even recognize.
There's one thing there, Dave, like, you know, you said, like, you know, after a while you might decide for yourself, I might do my other job because this is not giving me enough financial resources in order to stay alive, let's say, of have my basic needs. But I think, honestly saying, you're a professor, I know, but I don't really agree with this.
Next week, you will hear more about why I do not agree with Dave. Dave and I will continue talking about having a plan A and a plan B. Why plan A usually does not work when you have a plan B.
Thank you so much for listening. If you have loved this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. You can find me on Instagram at ozkanozlem, at ozkanozlem. If you want to let me know what you have enjoyed, or you want to share your takeaways with me, or you want to let me know what you want to hear in the next episode of Bridging, find the latest post on Instagram and leave a comment or ask a question. Thank you so much for listening.